We read several verses from the epistle account again from Colossians chapter 1. He is also the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile everything to himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. We pray. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. In the name of Jesus Christ, the crucified, the one who has redeemed us, dear fellow redeemed. I'm a little afraid to mention this, but if you ask a particular older lady here tonight what I was like when I grew up, she would say, oh, he was a good boy. He was a good boy. However, like many people, you know, I remember sins from my youth, especially my teenage days, and they still creep up and haunt me once in a while. I've had several people in the last several weeks contact me with the same situation. They're not members here, they're from out of state, they're not even members of my own family, but they've contacted me and expressed to me they're kind of haunted by some past sins. And you can perhaps relate to that as well. And if you can't, there's the person next to you, another church member who can. And if they're not here tonight because they can't be, there are many of us who are haunted by past sins. And of course, the message for us is always that our sins are forgiven in Christ. So we have past sins to deal with. We have present sins to deal with and future sins. And not only do we have our sins, but we also have our afflictions and our trials and our temptations that are here with us presently and that will be with us in the future. And so what do? You have not only these crosses and afflictions and temptations, but you also have your sins, past, present, and future. Sins against God always, but also very often sins against our neighbor. Talking about your neighbor, let's pretend you have a neighbor who steals stuff from you, things you have outside. Just keeps stealing. And so what do? Well, you decide to build a fence, to separate yourself from that neighbor, to alienate that neighbor from you. You don't want anything to do with that neighbor, and understandably so. So you build a fence. Let's apply that illustration to us and God, God who is a neighbor, so to speak. But in this case, you are the neighbor who steals. And God is not the one who builds the fence, strangely enough, but you are. You want to be separated from this neighbor. You are alienated from him. You want to avoid him. You can't stand him, even though you are the one who is at fault. And so our text says, once you were alienated and hostile in your minds as expressed in your evil actions. You know, in the Old Testament, there's kind of a fence being spoken of. It's in the temple, that thick, big curtain that was between the most holy place and the rest of the temple and the rest of the temple grounds. And only the high priest could go into that most holy place once a year after he put on his priestly garments and was cleansed sacrificially. But that curtain represents that we are separated from God. that we are alienated from God. And so what does God do? Does he reinforce that curtain, that fence? Actually, he's the one who does not want that wall, that fence there, that curtain there. So he tears it down. And how does he tear it down? Well, that's what tomorrow night is about. We read in Mark chapter 15, Jesus let out a loud cry and breathed his last. Then the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And the result is, as we read in our text, that now he has reconciled you. Reconciled. Let's make sure we define that. Catechism term, reconcile. I won't quiz you, Clint, now, but reconcile, it means to make enemies into friends. Peace between enemies. Now he has reconciled you by his physical body through his death to present you holy, faultless, and blameless before him, if indeed you remain grounded and steadfast in the faith. And Paul gets even more specific about this death. Two verses earlier, he says, "For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in Christ, and through him to reconcile everything to himself." Here's the key phrase, "by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." His body and his blood on the cross. And God wants to take that body and blood and apply it to your past, present, and future sins. He wants to take that body and blood and apply it to your trials and afflictions and sufferings and temptations, both present and future. And he also wants to apply it to your fellow church member who can't be here tonight. So, where do we go to have that body and blood applied to us? What is the sacrament of the altar? We answer that in the small catechism, but let me ask it a different way. What are the ingredients of the Lord's Supper, and what are they for? Well, if you want to find out what the ingredients are of the cereal you're eating in the morning, you look on the side of the box, and it's quite amazing how many ingredients are in that one grain of cereal. We want to find out what the ingredients are in the Lord's Supper, we simply read what the manufacturer has said. And it's quite simple. Just four ingredients: bread, wine, his body, and his blood. That's it. It may defy our senses and go beyond our reason, but our senses and our reason are not the manufacturer. Jesus is. This is my body. This is my blood, given and shed for you for the remission of sins. In Revelation chapters 2 and 3, Jesus is writing to seven churches. And those churches are like us in many ways. And he describes for them what they are doing well in some cases and what they are doing poorly. And he describes for them what they are facing and what they will be facing. And he covers everything. He covers, you know, their lukewarmness, their lack of repentance. He covers false prophets and prophetesses. He covers sexual immorality. He covers false religions, false worldviews. They're all there, just like we have today. Churches aren't each the same, but they all have different challenges and sins they are facing. Jesus does not call any of them non-Christians, but he warns them all that that could become a reality. To one of the churches, he writes, "I know that you have little strength." Kind of reminds us of the words that Jesus spoke to the three disciples in the garden, where he said, "The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." So it was a struggle back then, and it is a struggle today, especially as we realize that this is all being manipulated and somehow kind of directed by the one the book of Revelation tells us was thrown out of heaven, the ancient serpent who was called the devil and Satan, the one who deceives the whole world. He was thrown to earth and his angels with him. So, where do we find comfort and strength? How do we persevere? How do we conquer? How do we overcome? And that should always be the concern within each family, especially for the fathers. That, of course, needs to be the concern of every pastor. Where do we go? And Jesus tells us right there in the book of Revelation. He gives us an answer that speaks to this night of the Lord's Supper. He says, they conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Word and sacrament. That blood and that body were on the cross. They are not there anymore, but they are in the sacrament. They are for you and your fellow church member and for other Christians. They are there for you who understand that you have sinned and the consequences of your sin. They are there for you who must face the world and Satan. They are there for you who believe in Christ. The body and blood are there because you need them. I'm going to tell you the story about Cyprian. Cyprian was born in Africa in about the year 200 AD. He was born a pagan and lived a pagan life. And then in his mid-30s, he became a Christian and was baptized. Not too long after that, Cyprian became a bishop of North Africa. And it wasn't too many years after he became a bishop that the Caesar in Rome decided to highly persecute the church. The bishop in Rome was martyred. And they came after Cyprian as well, too. And the governor in North Africa, in Carthage, arrested Cyprian and put him on trial. And we actually have a court record, you might say, of that trial. And let me read to you a part of that. The governor, Galerius Maximus, said, "The most sacred emperors have commanded you, Cyprian, to conform to the Roman rites. You professed yourself an open enemy to the gods and the religion of Rome, and the pious, most sacred, and august emperors have endeavored in vain to bring you back to conformity with their religious observances. Whereas, therefore, you have been apprehended as principal and ringleader in these infamous crimes, you shall be made an example to those whom you have wickedly associated with you. The authority of the law shall be ratified in your blood. This is the sentence of this court, that Cyprian be executed with the sword." And Cyprian responded, "Thanks be to God." And so right after that, he was taken just outside of the city. He knelt down, he prayed, and he was beheaded. But here's the point I want to make. Prior to this, anticipating the persecution that was coming, Cyprian wrote to another bishop about the importance of the Lord's Supper. And here's what he said. "We must equip those whom we wish to be safe against the adversary, Satan, with the armor of the Lord's food. For how shall we teach or incite them to shed their blood in confession of his name if we deny them Christ's blood when they are about to fight? Or how can we make them fit for the cup of martyrdom if we do not first admit them to drink in the church the cup of the Lord of communion? You know, I don't know what will happen to you or me in the years to come, but I do know this. You and I have past, present, and future sins. You and I will have afflictions and trials and temptations brought about by the world and Satan. And what does Jesus say to us again? They have conquered by the blood of the Lamb. And that's why we invite people to partake of the Lord's Supper. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forevermore. Amen. And now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.